Hello.
Good morning.
So let's see how many we are today here. 1 week after the WolfCon.
Yeah.
I heard from the library network in Germany that they not will to attend today. So
Okay.
let's see, maybe three persons. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you were at WolfCon, right?
Not in person.
Yeah, you did
But
virtually, right?
yeah.
Yeah,
But with
nobody from Germany came, right? Yeah, I don't think anybody. Yeah.
yeah,
Okay.
too many costs for us.
Sure, I
And
understand.
because you got three tickets for virtually attendee for one ticket in person, and so we split it in three tickets, one ticket, and so more people were able to attend.
That makes sense.
So okay.
I guess it's just you and me today. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Who else usually attends?
Bernd is
Yeah.
on vacation, and
Oh, okay.
the people from the library network have another meeting at the same time. So maybe Martina attend,
Okay.
and yeah, but if no other one attend today, we can talk a little bit about some issues that you have, and we can yeah, skip the other points and discuss this in the next meeting.
Okay.
So yeah. So yeah, what I add to the implementers list is a new feature with the multiple harvester accounts here. And that means that you can add more than one harvester to one usage data provider. So,
Right, like a 5.0, 5 and a 5.1.
yeah, so because the structure and the API call is very different from release to release, and with this feature you have the ability to create multiple harvesters for one usage data provider, and each harvester account has its own configuration. So, and you don't have conflicts with different API calls because the scheduler in the background goes through each harvester account for one usage data. So that also means that you can harvest release 4, 5, and 5.1 simultaneously. So, and that was
Yeah.
a big problem in the past. So, and we should solve this.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense.
So let's see. We discussed these codes here, 33x. I used x for the number that follows. So, and I created the tickets here in Jira with these new icons, and we discussed that we would like to use another icon for the code 3032 with a calendar that is in a red icon, and yeah, we can implement this if you say that's okay. this icon.
Yeah, I think that's good.
And the other one is 430.31, that are
Not ready.
all, it's not ready in the same icon in yellow.
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then we had this one here, 1020. This is an exception code. Let's see. 10. I should use this one here.
Which
10.
one is that? That's the, oh yeah.
Yeah, 1020 is
1020.
client has to
Client
has
too,
made too
yeah.
many requests. So, I talked with the developer from our team, and he said we can try to to interpret the exception from the server, and if the exception contains this message, then we can handle this with to stop the attempts for the harvesting, and then we can also create a kind of notification for the users that you can see that there is a problem with the usage data provider and the configuration. And yeah, but it's not really clear how that could looks like. So, and we should talk about how it could be and how it looks should looks like. So, and I have some ideas, but that's only ideas. And my approach is more to hear what the users mean about what they need to see in the application. And and so the question is, today you only you, what do you think? Is it enough to have an like a banner in the usage data provider that says there's something wrong with the configuration, and in addition to this, to have a filter where you can filter out the usage data provider where
Yeah,
is a conflict?
you know, it could be, I think having some way of saying these credentials are broken, you know, so that the provider is marked in some kind of obvious way, like this doesn't, like the credentials that are stored for this usage provider do not work. And you know, like it just it like the harvester stops attempting to harvest on it, and it's just kind of marked in some way on the provider, like some kind of maybe icon or something that shows up in the UI, maybe ne next to the provider or something that kind of indicates maybe like a red yield sign or something, you know, some kind of icon that can, or even just the same icons that show up in the like, you know, like a red X or something that indicates that the credentials themselves are the problem. Right. Is that what you're suggesting? 'Cause I've never really understood the 1020 error. Like I don't, does that typically mean the credentials are the problem?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, right.
Sometimes. But we can
Because
use
that's also 2000, like the 2000 is not authorizing.
too many requests, and then we have also the same problem
Yeah,
with these
those two,
exception
yeah.
codes, and so maybe we can group this with one feature. And also here 2020 API key invalid.
Yeah, I know I've had some with 1020. Like I think it was Project Euclid, Duke University. I get it where it will harvest some reports, but then it throws 10, 20 on certain months. So I know it's not the credentials in that case. You know, I'm not really sure what's causing it. That's one of the ones where I wonder what it, so on a more technical level, like how does e-usage handle that? Like, what does it do? Because I've noticed sometimes with a provider that does that, I will go in and delete the error reports, run the harvester again, and sometimes those months will harvest. Sometimes they don't. And so I don't. I could show you even on.
Sometimes there is a limit how many requests you can
Yeah.
do at the same time. So maybe they block the request if you try to download
Okay.
too many reports. So
So if I have, so if with the harvester, if I have a report that successfully downloaded, when I run the harvest, it's not trying, it never tries to reharvest that same data, does it? Or does it skip over it? That's like kind of on the actual behavior of usage, I'm wondering. Sometimes I wonder what it does.
The harvester tries to download the reports. So if the harvester get the reports, then it's saved in the database, and then you get a green icon in the UI. When there is a failure, then you get a data record in the database with the exception, and in the UI you get an icon with red and a cross, and then you can see there is a failure. So, and the harvester tries that it depends on the settings that you entered in the settings of
The like
e-usage,
max,
how many
yeah.
attempts the harvester should do. And after the limit, the harvester not try again to harvest the report for the months that you set in the settings, so from the harvester
Oh.
configuration. So that means if you have an report that has the exception code 3032, or is it 3032? All right, look again. Or are not ready, 3031. So it tries maybe, for example, six attempts, and then it is an error for usage, and
Okay.
then it's red. So, and what we would like to do is that we differ between the exception codes. And so if we say exception code 1020 should not counted in the background, then it tries again and again and again. So
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, good to know.
And but the users should know that there is a problem with the harvesting.
Yeah, so if you get an error back, it's stored for a month. Is it, if you're gonna run the harvester again, is it good to delete that error? Because that resets the number of attempts, probably, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So that might be something that would be helpful to include in some documentation to, you know. But yeah, no, that's good. Okay. That's one of the things I had been wondering. But yeah, I do think some way of denoting, you know, you have maybe, you know, it when you have the usage provider table when you first open e-usage, maybe it could have a column that says like status or something like that. like of credentials or something, and it could have an icon that says like it's either green or red. You know, if it's green, it's like these credentials are good, it's harvesting, you know. Red, like the credentials are broken, you know, harvests are consistently failing with these specific area, you know, error codes or something. Like on this screen, I know that
mean
we have the
this?
harvesting status as active or inactive, but if we could have something that's live, like run, that shows
Okay.
from, you know,
Yeah.
whether there are error codes, that kind of thing.
Okay. We have a filter for error codes here. So, and if there is 1020, you can see the error code here. But you say you would like to see an additional column here in this overview.
Some kind of visual thing that notifies the user that like there's a problem with this provider. With the credentials, you know. And at that point, like if it's giving that error code, like the harvester doesn't even attempt anymore, you know, like it just doesn't run and you need to change the credentials.
Yeah, that makes sense, because if you try this for every month for the last 5 years, maybe then you get more than 1,000 error codes and error reports. And that's not good for the application.
It
So
might even be nice when you know to have a step when you're setting up a new usage provider to run just a handful of months to validate, you know, before it, you know, that way you can know immediately, okay, these credentials are broken, I need to do something about it.
Yeah, there was an idea from Bernd to extract information from the exception message, because some providers tells you which time period you can harvest, but not every provider. And that's the problem.
I mean, I'm another thing I've been curious about is it would it be possible to somehow the like the counter validation tool, is that open source?
I think so.
Because I would be curious to know if there would be a way to just literally run the counter validation report from within Folio when you're like to test credentials. Because I found it really useful to go to the counter validation tool. And I'm a person who knows to do this, but I'm sure that, you know, some people, when they're getting into Folio and trying to use a usage for the first time, they may not know if they exist, like that the counter validation tool exists. It would be maybe nice to even just get that report that you're able to generate from the counter validation tool, because I've sent that to usage providers. Like I've emailed it to them and said, this is the problem. Like, especially when it notices a problem with the standard. And it won't store the report because there's an issue with like some data element that they have that doesn't match the standard and it won't download the reports, you know? So that could be helpful because then it shows up on that. It has the little summary, you know, on the front, like the first tab of the Excel spreadsheet that downloads. And you can just send that to a vendor and say, look, you've got a problem with your usage data. It's not a problem with the credentials or anything. Your data is wrong. You need to fix this, you know?
Yeah,
That
but
type of thing might be helpful just as a
yeah.
step when it's like validate or, you know, test credentials or something. I don't know. A way of
Yeah.
like having that, like with GoKB, they have the KBAR validator built into the interface, you know? Like it might be nice to have something like that built in.
Yeah, but what I saw in Alma was that they have an a button to test the connection to the provider. So when
Something like
you,
that, yeah.
and I think we can do something like this in the harvesting configuration. Then when you enter the data for the credentials, that you can press the button and we check, are the credentials okay? And then there in the background, they download and report from the provider and look at the status section. But this kind of API call is only provided from counter release 5, and we also offer the API call for release 4, and so we need a solution for release 4 too. And
Yeah. Are
so
some providers still providing you release for?
yes,
Wow. Okay.
and
I haven't come across that, but
in my opinion, we should remove release 4 from the harvester
yeah.
usage, but there are other meanings about it, and so we had to
Sure.
leave it as a, and yeah, but I think we can implement an test connection button in the harvesting configuration when
Okay.
we create this multiple harvesting accounts into the harvesting configuration, then we can also add a new button at this time. So, and it really makes sense for me to have something like that. We had some test cases here in Leipzig where we had the idea to integrate some check status buttons that you can click and then you see the status of from the provider, but we were on the same point where we said okay, we need to provide also this functionality for release 4, and I asked Bernd how they do this with their harvesting in the national statistics server, and he said they use an workaround. They download a release 4 report, and if there is a report, then the connection is established. So,
Oh, yeah, okay.
maybe
Sure.
we can do it in the same way. Yeah,
Yeah,
for
I
release.
mean it's not, it's not necessarily ideal, but it could work. I
It
mean that
could. It could.
could work.
So yeah, and I add a ticket for this for umbrella leave, so we can look in the roadmap here. There is a ticket for umbrella leave. Here, connection test
Okay,
for
yeah.
harvester account. It's a combination with the multiple harvester accounts per provider issue. So, and yeah, and in Alma, you have a button where you can click on it, and then it says it connection is established or not. And
Yeah.
I think that's enough for usage. So,
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
all the other things is on the provider side, and it's out of scope for this feature.
Sure. I mean, yeah, those of us who know that the validation tool exists can use it. I know it's co sort of there for providers, but I use it anyway. Because sometimes I have to let people know, like, you're not, I can't download your reports because they don't conform to the standards, so.
Yeah, so sometimes there's also a conflict with the format. Some providers ha has a response with HTML, and then our harvester says that's not a valid format for counter, and But it's a good point. I add here this page in the wiki. Oops, where we have it. Yeah. Extract data. And here you can see how you can find
Oh,
all
I need to look
the,
at that. Okay.
where you can find all the reports that has a specific error code.
Oh, that's really helpful. Okay, I'm gonna be looking at this.
And yeah, I have the API calls here, and also if you use the database, then you can also start a query that extract all the.
Yeah, I do. I've been trying to use the database sometimes, in MetaDB when it comes to just extracting stuff from the like JSON in there, like it can be real slow. At least it was. I think it's gotten a little better. I think that's an index. That was an index data problem, though, I think.
Yeah,
And I think it's been.
but I think if you use this CTE in your query, then you have a subset of the reports that you really need from the database, and so it's faster to querying.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try that. That's great. I know it's not on the agenda, but I've been curious to know if there's what the convert if there's any status update on the conversations about changes to how the aggregator works. I know Bernd would have been a good person to ask about that, but he's not here. I'm just curious because I know that that's something that they're working on. I don't know where that's at, if any progress has been made.
Bernd sent us an access to their test server where they have the data. And the thing is, it's a project on their side. So,
Yeah.
and we can plan all the features here in this group with Bernd together. And he can say when they can start with the development, because they don't have a development team yet. But we can plan the feature. So, and
The automatic maintenance of UDP.
And this, the if I understand it right, then they would send us the data like a usage data provider via the sushi protocol, and so we don't have to differ between
Oh, so that
counter
not much needs
sushi.
to be right. Okay, that makes sense.
So, for us e-usage developers, is it not relevant, because it's just another usage data provider that we have
No,
to
that
talk
makes
about.
sense. That makes sense. I get it. That's a good point.
So,
And I
but
might need to talk to, because my thing, I'm still curious about the potential of doing something like that with Celest. I
Yeah,
might
but
talk to them and see if they can do that.
it's not just an usage data provider like the others, because you can set up the credentials in the settings.
And then it automatically brings in all the providers, right? Yeah.
And then they send the credentials from the server directly to usage, and then all the rest is automatically in usage, and so you only have to set up the credentials for the statistics server in the settings and not for each provider.
Okay.
So,
I see.
but this is only on a concept here. On draft,
Yeah.
and so we have to talk with Bernd about this, and where is the status from the project? what is the status from the project.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's I'll just I'll that's interesting. I'll be following that conversation if you know, as it comes up, as it gets more, has more, as there's more discussion.
Yeah, and he also gave us a new topic here for us to extend the information from counter exceptions. It was in Slack conversation, and I add this requirement to the backlog, and you can find the requirement here in this issue. That means that we would like to split the message for the exception into subfields. At the moment, you have all the message in one field, and we would like to see this in subfields in addition
That would
to
be really helpful, yeah.
So, and I hope we can implement this in the next sprints. So, yeah, but we have to see how many resources we have here in Leipzig at the moment. What is
Okay.
okay. And the other one here, we should also wait this, should also wait if Martina is back. Because it's a feature that it's more important for if you have multiple tenants in a system, and yeah, if you have also if you have a single tenant installation. So if you download the counter reports with usage, then it's stored in the database from Folio. So, and it's a efficient way to exclude all the data in a separate storage, and the S3 object cloud storage is a standard solution in Folio for this. The local knowledge base also offers this option. And it makes sense that we also talk about this for usage.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Do you know any updates on the it like new like continued development on e-usage reports to get it up to 5.1? Is that happening? I'm curious to know if that's happening somewhere, if somebody's working on that. You know, the e-usage reports plugin for agreements.
Okay.
Because
Yeah,
I know that's a separate thing.
it's a separate thing, but I know the library network Habis is planning to work on this, and
Okay. Because it
maybe
doesn't work
they.
with 5.1, right? That's my
Yeah,
understanding.
yes, that's
Yeah.
right. And they would like to work on this together with an external partner. Maybe it is index data, like with the provisions versions of the plugin. And
Okay.
but they are not really sure about the requirements yet. So, and they plan all the requirements at the moment, and it's really complicated to create these requirements, because you have to look at so many applications in Folio and where the data comes from, and
Sure.
it
Yeah.
so it was also the reason why we said in Leipzig that we don't want to provide this application anymore. So But he was said they would like to have this plug-in in agreements, and they have money for a development, and
Okay.
so they try to to collect all the requirements together, and after that they looking for an provider for the development, and
Have they thought about it?
maybe it's index data.
Have they thought about talking to like Big Dig Data out of the Czech Republic, possibly?
I don't know.
Because they developed Celis and for the Czech e-library. And I'm just wondering, like, could that be because they have experience. They also built they're on the counter code team. They built the counter validator tool.
I
They might be
think,
good.
yeah, it's a good team. I think so. They have SMEs, and they have also burned as for consulting, and also the library networks has also experience with requirements for FOIO, and I think it's a good place to for future development of the plugin. And
I'm being new to this like community and new to like open source software development. Is it the requirements? I'm sure would be probably similar to the current ones in terms of it being for the local knowledge base. But would it be if someone was interested in having them consider e-holdings being more integrated into that somehow? Would I just talk to them? How would it, how to, like, are they going to be coming to the ER? Like, once they get that, once they're a little clearer on the development, will they be having meetings? Would there be a subgroup of ERM? Like, how do you think that would play out? Because that's something I'm not sure how that works.
Maybe you can talk with Martina about this.
Okay. Yeah,
And
I'll email Martina.
and I know that the ERM SIG has the opportunity to create some requirements in at the page ERM implementers, and maybe you can look at the page here. Here's the page ERM
Yeah.
implementers, and at this page you can add your requirements,
Okay.
and here you can see the requirement from Martina. And after this, we can pick this from the list and talk about the requirement in these meetings here.
Okay.
Or if it's an broader requirement about different apps, then we can also talk about this requirement in the main group ERM thing. I don't know how I should call it.
I'll look into it. I'll also ask Bernd if he has any updates. I'm just curious because I think for some of us who the handful of us that over here who have are hosted by Index Data, but we use EBSCO for our holdings management. We're in that kind of tricky spot where there's certain things that just don't work right, who work very well for us.
I think that the first step is to ask the SIG, and after that the SIG talks with the product owners, and if there are more apps involved in the requirement, then it's the best way that the product owners talks together about the requirement. So, but if you have a provider like EBSCO, you can also write to EBSCO if you have a requirement.
EBSCO is not interested. I've tried.
Okay.
They sell a product that they would rather me buy. So,
Yeah.
they it's an area of development in Folio that they're not particularly interested in doing. I think there are certain they've changed a little bit. Like they're supporting MetaDB now. They weren't before. So who knows? But like they because for their hosted libraries, they do sell, like they do include a bundle of like analytical thing, like analytics things, especially if they pay them for their usage per their usage harvesting, because they have something called consolidated usage that's their own they harvest and stuff. And I think they would rather us buy that product than use a usage. They don't want us to use usage.
I know. But there is a new hope, because there is a new framework. I heard it on the WolfCon in the last week, how all applications can get money from the community if the community needs some features to develop.
Oh, okay. What which session was this?
Let me see which one is it.
Because I need to go view that. I didn't
Yeah.
make it to that one, I guess.
It was let's see. Introducing the community-directed development framework.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I wanted to go to some of those. Yeah, I'll go view those because there was a workshop too, right?
And they have a document with about 17 pages.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right.
And the point is that the community creates community requirement points with the money they have for a fiscal year. And after that, you have a contingent of points that you can give to development teams, and each feature get support points and development points, and the summary is the value that you need, value of points that you need to develop the feature. And
Okay.
the product council can prioritize the features, and the community council can say, okay, we give you the community requirement points for the development that we have for this feature. So, but if you have money to develop a feature because you have a project in your institution, then you can also get the money from the project directly, it and you outside of this wheeling.
Wow. Okay. That's very cool. I've got the document open. I'm going to read it later for sure. Okay. That's awesome.
So but there was a discussion on where we can classify how we can classify the applications. Is it a core component? Is it only a feature application that only is an extra application for Folio, and it's not really a core component? So, and there are so many questions opened to this document and has to be discussed.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it might be a reason for us in the future to move from sustaining to empowering partners. I don't know. We'll see. Like, I'm convinced.
In our case, from usage, is it we have our developers here in the institution from the university, and we don't have the problem with the financing. So,
Yeah. I mean, we have Maccabee, so you know, we've got some, but you know, Maccabee can only do so much.
So, yeah. Okay, I think that
All right.
that we are through the list here. Now we can go through. And yeah, we have to look that we have a new appointment where we have more attendees. And I think Bernd is back on October 13.
Okay.
So we can say, okay, it's the first day for him. So, in 4 weeks, it's the last Monday in October.
Okay.
Yeah,
That
is
works
this
for
right?
me.
Okay, then I send the invitation via email.
Okay.
And then we can discuss the rest of the agenda with the product group. Yeah, and I can talk with the backend developer here in our institution how we can handle this with the mark of usage data providers that have conflicts.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
Okay,
All right.
then
Thank you.
see you.
Oh, yeah. Were you going to say something else? Sorry.
See
No.
you.
Okay. See you later. Bye. Have a good day.